Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pressure Biosciences Third Quarter 2014 Financial Results and Business Update. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Richard Schumacher. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Jen, and welcome everyone to the Pressure Biosciences third quarter and year-to-date financial review and business update. And as always, I'm here with our Chief Financial Officer, Dick Thomley. First thing I'm going to do is read a cautionary statement. The following remarks may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any such statement is based. So today, Dick is going to give us a brief overview of the third quarter. We filed the Q, as everyone knows, on Friday afternoon, and we sent out a press release on Monday morning. And then after Dick has concluded, I'm going to follow with a general business update. And then, of course, as always, we'll be pleased to take questions from everyone who's taken the time to come on the phone. So, Dick.
Thanks, Rick. Products and services revenues for the third quarter of 2014 were $372,545, as compared with $327,958 for the comparable period in 2013. That's a 14% increase. We did not have any grant revenues in the third quarter of 2014, compared to $92,804 in 2013. Our grants were completed in the third quarter of 2013, and we are actively pursuing additional grants. Sales of consumables for the third quarter of 2014 increased slightly to $51,831, compared to $51,450 for the comparable period of 2013. Because of the loss of grant revenues, total revenues for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2014 decreased 11% to $372,000, compared to $420,000 for the same period in 2013. Operating loss for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2014 was $797,000, compared to $844,000 for the prior year. Loss per common share for the third quarter of 2014, basic and diluted, increased to 7 cents per share as compared with a loss of 6 cents per share for the comparable period of 2013. The increased loss per share is primarily due to $331,000 in income recorded in 2013 due to the decrease in fair value of our derivative liabilities in that period, compared to $98,000 of income this year. Products and services revenues for the first 9 months of 2014 were $1,084,000, compared to $746,000 for the comparable period of 2013, and that's a 45% increase. Again, we did not have any grant revenues for the first 9 months of 2014, compared to $403,000 in 2013. Sales of consumables for the first 9 months of 2014 increased 48% to $154,860, compared to $104,708 for the comparable period in 2013. Because of the loss of grant revenues, total revenues for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2014 decreased 6% to $1,084,000 compared to $1,149,000 in the same period in 2013. Operating loss for the 9 months ended September 30th was $2,426,000 compared to $2,427,000 for the prior year, essentially unchanged. Loss per common share for the first 9 months of 2014, basic and diluted, increased to 35 cents per share as compared with a loss of 28 cents per share for the comparable period of 2013. The increased loss per share is primarily due to a $1,388,000 charged for deemed dividends on a convertible preferred stock in 2014 and other derivative accounting. Thanks, Rick.
And thank you, Dick. I'm going to just very briefly talk about the financial results of the third quarter, and then I'd like to spend more time talking about the operational results of the third quarter, and then we'll talk about some milestones that we've set that we listed out in the press release that went out yesterday morning for the fourth quarter going into early next year, and then we will open it up for questions. As Dick mentioned, once again, we have beat the revenue for products and services for the same quarter previous year. This time our increase was 14%, which means for the year to date we're at about 45% for products and service revenue, 45% increase over the three quarters of last year, 14% for the third quarter. Our consumables were flat, as Dick mentioned, for the third quarter, but we still have a consumable increase of nearly 50% at 48% for the three quarters to date for the 2014 year. And we're not concerned that the consumables were flat. It was a summer month. A lot of people take vacations. The number of actual tests that are run is probably down from the vacations that are being taken. And so we're not concerned. I know I've had a couple of calls recently about since the queue went in about the fact that the consumables number was flat. And it was a good number compared to several years ago. Our consumables are still up nearly 50% this year compared to last year through 9 months. As Dick has mentioned several times, as he mentioned in the press release, we are very vigilant about watching our operating expenses, and because of that, we're trying our best to reduce our operating loss, and we've done that again. We've done that with the vigilance that we have in trying to spend just what we have to spend to get done what has to be done. We don't spend much, if anything, that isn't really needed for the quarter and to move things along. And so that is showing itself in the fact that our operating loss decreased, I think, about 5% for the quarter. And this is also, as Dick mentioned, without any grants. I believe we've had, over $400,000 in grants through three quarters in 2013 and none in 2014. Grants, we talked about on previous calls, are good, a double-edged sword. They take some time, some focus away from some of the people that work on grants that we would love to have them working and supporting our sales efforts. But at the same time, the grants are very important because they help us move product development along, and it's something which we're not looking at internal funds to have to do. We're looking at the government to help us do that. The government also pays in these grants overhead and fees. So we're losing those overhead and fees, but even though we're losing that overhead and fees that are coming in to help support what we're doing, we're still watching what we spend and still we're able to reduce our overall costs for the third quarter and keep them basically static for the 9 months to date. So looking at some of the non-financial, what I call the operational successes of the year. We spelled these out in the press release. I'd like to go over these briefly, and if there's any questions, we can go into them. We can dive a little bit deeper. As we mentioned in the August 15th call, we signed a deal with a wonderful small company called Pair-Based Genomics to work with them on developing the front end of their next generation sequencing platform. and that is something that we will start to do in more earnest now. Some of you are aware, many of you are not, that we've left our facility at University of Massachusetts, and we have rented space, which we're just moving into last week and this week, in Medford, Mass., about 7 miles north of Boston. And it's really cut back on the ability of some of the things that we wanted to do in the R&D. The good part of that is that our R&D department of Alex Lazaroff and Vera Gross have been coming down here, quite a ride for them coming down here daily into Easton, Mass., and it's pulled the team together even closer over the last 3 months because this is the this is where they were working out of. So we have the pair-based genomics, which happened in the third quarter in July. We also talked about the fact that we planned that by sometime in the fall we were going to be shipping our first Verizyme, our high throughput instrument. We mentioned that in a press release that came out in the third quarter, and obviously to do that we had to. It was all hands on deck. It was a lot of meetings, a lot of work, a lot of engineering, a lot of marketing, all getting together to complete the development of the first two commercial units, and to get these out. As everyone saw today in today's press release, we'll talk about that briefly in just a few minutes. By invitation, I was asked if I would present to at the Warsaw Stock Exchange to a group of financial investors, including fund managers and individual investors in Poland, which I did in the third quarter. And this has opened up some very interesting possibilities for the company that we're looking at. Poland will be receiving about $100 billion U.S. dollars in subsidies from the European Union. This money is earmarked to help the economy in Poland grow. They're right on the verge of becoming what many consider a top 20 economy. And they've got a wonderful academic system there. They've got a vibrant system, the vibrant population. I was very impressed and pleased with what I saw there, and our chairman, Jeff Peterson, also went with me. We're both totally impressed with the people we met and their desire to look at U.S. High-tech innovative companies. And so more to come on that. More to come on that. There's a lot of grant money in that $100 billion that they're getting. There is a lot of grant money that's available over the next 5 years to support companies that will develop their innovative technologies, manufacture them, set up a site in Poland. And so we're looking at all of the possibilities here, but it is extremely exciting to have a country that is so vibrant and so ready to take the next step that now has the cash to look at companies like us and invite us over to present. So more to come on that. Very exciting times for that. In addition, the company announced a partnership with PowerTech Technology Company. PowerTech is a extremely important distributor for life sciences in China. We mentioned in the press release that they are distributing products for a number of well-known companies, and that we're very pleased that we're able to be able to get PowerTech when they're distributing for companies like DuPont and GE Healthcare, Sartorius, Zeiss, and Agilent. So we've been in great discussions with them. We're actually sending two people there in 2 weeks. They are extremely aggressive, aggressive about our product line and where it's needed in China. And they've asked us to we're sending one of our scientists, Dr. Vera Gross, and our head of technical and customer service, Jim Behnke over there for about 10 days. They have a number of customers that they want us to meet. They have a number of sites to do demonstrations. And we're very excited that in a matter of just, 30 to 60 days from signing an agreement, they've already got lined up a number of companies that could impact us quite well very soon. Also, we had our press release on October 27th. This was a lot of work. We talked about it last quarter. This is what we call a micro-pestle. This is an adaption made to our existing consumable called the MicroTube. And by using this micro-pestle, customers are able to use very, very small amounts of tissue, such as the amount of tissue you get from a needle biopsy, just a little dot at the end of a sentence, very small amounts of tissue. And so we were able to develop this over the last year. We filed a patent before we showed it in June at the American Society for Mass Spectrometry meeting, and we started working with one of the top protein scientists we consider in the world, Dr. Rudy Ebersold and his group at the ETH in Zurich. And Professor Ebersold presented a number of papers, he and his team, in Spain at what we consider the most important protein meeting of the year. And in his presentation, he said that by marrying pressure cycling technology, our new consumable, this micro-pestle, with what he considers one of the best mass spectrometers out there, they're able to marry this, and they call this PCT SWATH, PCT for our system, of course, and SWATH for the ABCIEX system, their mass spectrometry system. And he believes that when you combine pressure cycling technology up front to break apart the samples and to be able to do them in these small tubes using these micro-pestles, and you do the downstream analysis, you can now do it using mass spectrometry, which, as he said, gives thousands of results of thousands of proteins, where up to now the results were not being done very easily at all by mass spectrometry, and they're being done by other methods where you would be lucky to get results of 100 proteins. So looking at proteins from needle biopsies, whether it's from clinical samples, cancer, non-cancer samples, or research samples, he's excited because he believes that now you're going to be able to get far more chance of finding that needle in the haystack, since you're looking at thousands of proteins and not just hundreds of proteins or 100 proteins. And obviously, we're very excited about it. I can tell you we've had a half a dozen calls in 30 days since that presentation from investigators, several that have our product, our instrument, and three or four that do not, that have all said, we want to talk, give us a quote for the system that Professor Ebersold talked about. And the word is just getting out. I mean, the meeting was held, but there's only several, a few 400 or 500 people at the meeting. It then is now, being published and being sent out. So we think that the reverberations will continue and even increase over the months to come. And of course, what we're trying to do is spread the word ourselves on what Dr. Ebersold has been able to do. And of course, the biggest thing, perhaps for the quarter or for the 6 weeks after the quarter, was the press release this morning, where we announced that we have, over the past 10 days or so, shipped our first two Verizyme high throughput HT48 systems for independent outside evaluation. We showed the system in June at the ASMS meeting. We had a number of people come over and look at it. We have a list of about over two dozen, somewhere between 18 and 24 laboratories, most of which are who we consider key opinion leader laboratories, that have offered to either on their own or because we went to them to look at the system. And we placed the first two systems, and the data are now being generated. And we think this is the a major, major step. When you take something out from within and you send it out, we want our labs that are doing it to beat it up, do everything that they can and we want to make it better if anything needs to be changed. But we think it's in very good shape right now. We have new consumables that go with it. The consumables will actually bring down the cost of pressure cycling technology because the cost of the consumable processing well is less than the cost of the tube that they're now using. So we think that our customers will now be able to do more tests at a lower per test, but hopefully in the end buying many, many more consumables from us going forward. So we're very excited about our first two installs. Very excited. We had a quote from Dr. Radoslav Goldman from Georgetown University, who is going to be looking at the system. He has our existing system. He's going to be running some comparatives. We understand, we believe that the data are going to be just as good, but the handling is going to be much, much better, and you can do many more at the same time. And Dr. Goldman is going to be working generating data on existing samples where he's already generated some data, and I think showing that they compare very favorably. It's a question every potential customer will have. How will this system, since it still works on pressure, but it's different, it uses a different consumable, how will it compare? We have this often, and we've done the testing inside for 4 months, 6 months now. We know it compares very favorably, very different. You can't tell the difference. But we need outside, and we're getting the same thing done by this very important biotech company. There are some companies out there, particularly biotech companies that are fiercely competitive with others that don't even publish, never even publish on pressure cycling technology because, as several have told us, they don't want their competition to know the advantages that they're getting. So we have one of these companies that has not only agreed, they asked to be the first. They have two of our systems, and they're looking at the high throughput right now, and we'll be meeting with them next week to go over the data that they have been generating. So it's been an exciting time. So in addition to having our products and service revenue exceed by 14%, what was at that time a record last year in the third quarter product and service revenue, we also were able to do all that it took to get the system completed and get two of these systems out and have these wonderful investigators generating data. Now, the last thing I'd say before we open up for Q&A is that we also, new format, we put some near-term milestones in the press release, and everybody can please go and see those. But the important thing is that, you know, we're not resting on our laurels here. Our goal is to get the micro-pestle, get a very active marketing campaign to get that out and known. We have a very active campaign now that we have able to start shipping for evaluation, and we expect after evaluation purchased by a number of labs our high throughput system. So we've put together a number of goals that we believe are achievable, and they'll take hard work, nothing that this team here is not used to, of course. And we're very much looking forward to the fourth quarter, the rest of the fourth quarter, and next year, because in addition to everything we've done up to now, we now have a consumable and two instruments, the other one being the high throughput, the hub, which goes to 100,000 PSI. These two instruments have really not added much at all, to our revenue in 2013 year-to-date. And so we believe that we're ramping our revenue on our existing products, and now we have a new consumable and two new instruments to add to the fold, and getting very excited about becoming much more aggressive in our marketing and sales of these products. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over, Jen, to you, and see if there's anybody online that'd like to ask some questions for either Dick or for myself.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Frank Hawkins with Hawk Associates. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Frank. I'm doing okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, looks like you're making a bit of progress. Rick, I obviously, it sounds as though you're contemplating getting some new grant money in, but in terms of how the company ultimately is evaluated, it's probably best to evaluate it as that as just kind of a bonus without counting on it. But where I'm really headed in this question is, what is your your internal trajectory look like? In other words, how far out is it before you expect to have the revenue and the expense line cross where you're kind of break even? Is that, in your opinion, a year out? Is it 2 years out? What sort of expectations do you want to set on that?
Well, we've put a few things out publicly, both from what I've said and also in some presentations, that we believe that we will, if our projections are correct, we're anticipating that we'll be a profitable company in the next 1 to 2 years. So 2016, sometime in 2016. It takes a lot to get there. As you know, Frank, we believe that we spent a lot of time developing an amazing product line, and that time for that product line has come. So we're looking at a 2016. We'd like to move that up. But I've said before, I think on this call maybe, as well as elsewhere on webcasts, we're not looking at a hockey stick. This isn't, a lot of companies are developing their product for years, and then all of a sudden, boom, 6 months later, they're going to be profitable. I believe that this is a company because we have sales, because we have products, because we are expanding our product line, that this is a company. Our expectation is that we will, at this point, we're holding our own because we're doing so much in developing new samples and new consumables and new instruments, but we've got enough now. Now it's time to really change this company from what it has been. It's been basically an R&D engineering company that has had sales on the side. We now have the product line, and it's now time to change that around, and we are a sales and marketing driven company that does R&D and engineering when needed on the side. And that's what's going to change this company around, and that's where we're headed.
But it also sounds as though the international place could become reasonably valuable. You didn't say so, but one would conclude from just listening to what you said on the call that you have a potential situation in Poland that could be pretty interesting. One could speculate number of different ways on what we thought you said, but it wouldn't be surprising to hear that you were going to even set something up there. Maybe you could comment a little bit on that and maybe give us a little more color on the PowerTech China situation.
Well, there's two things overseas. One is the Poland situation, which is in its early stages. I think there's a lot of potential there, but we have to sift through a lot to get there. It was very worthwhile going there. It was very worthwhile. We met the two reporters from two or three of the top financial papers in all of Poland. We met the top three fund managers in all of Poland. We met other companies that have actually set up satellites, subsidiaries in Poland or are setting them up. Several of these companies have raised money on the Polish Stock Exchange. Interesting thing about Poland, not different than most other countries, they don't want to, a lot of them are not willing or sophisticated enough or go through the hassle, whatever it is, to buy stock on a U.S. stock exchange or a London stock exchange. So they'd like to see things listed on their own stock exchange. So there's lots of options. I'm not prepared right now to say anything other than there's an amazing opportunity. Jeff and I looked at ourselves. It's like the gold rush of 1849, 1850. It's a lot of opportunity. We've already gone. We've met the right people. We've got to sift through it, and perhaps maybe on the next call we'll have something more definitive. The other part of the international scene that I think is going to play a role here is our wonderful strategic partner, Constant Systems. They have spent a lot of money increasing their capabilities from within, and I believe that they are going to be showing us a lot more in terms of their ability to sell, market, and sell our product line to their to the non-North American customer base than ever before. They've hired people. They've expanded. They've built a lab so they can bring people in. They've done a tremendous job, and we're very excited about having them as our partner more than ever now because of what they've done. And China was because it's so big and different, was separated, and China to be able to agree to send two people for 10 days to China, at the end of November, beginning of December, it took a lot of thought on the one hand, but it was a no-brainer. They have really done their homework on our product line. They've set up a number of meetings with a number of potential buyers. So both Dr. Gross and Jim Behnke are going to be very, very busy. So I think Constant Systems, with their expanded outreach, China, which we've tried to twice before, we've tried to get there and have never made any, maybe sold an instrument here or sold an instrument there. We think it's going to be totally different this time around, and then Poland. So yes, I think the international scene is going to, in 2015, maybe even this quarter, for some of the distributors, but in 2015, it's going to play an important role in the growth of our company. We're excited about that. And that, not to say that, you know, internally, our sales are up almost 50%, and we've added capabilities in terms of having new products. So yeah, I there's a good reason right now to be optimistic about where this company is headed.
Well, certainly the body language would suggest that. I think based on the Form 4s, it looks like there were four of you who stepped up in this latest round of financing. I think if I'm correct, you all played the same deal in two earlier financings. Is that right?
Well, all five of us.
Yeah,
that's all right. I'm glad you brought that up. You're perceptive. Not everybody sees that, but yes, we have all five board members invested in the company in the last couple of weeks. All five board members invested in the company 6 months ago and 10 months ago, and all five board members invested in the company in our Series J, which was in February 2013, and all five board members invested in the company in our Series at that time, of which four are still on the board. In our Series G, which is in July of 2012. So, Frank, we're putting our money where our mouth is. Every board member has invested whenever we could, three times into the company this year. So, yes, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, Rick, you know what they say, money talks and BS walks. So, one final quick question, Mike. Could you give us just a little bit of color on the size of the market for the MicroPestle?
I said publicly in two press releases, including, I believe, the last one. It may even be somewhere in the queue, but it's certainly in our public statements that we believe we've done our homework, and there are, we believe, millions. We've seen reports of 3 million, 4 million, 5 million needle biopsies. Now, these are not all being done for proteins, but there's a lot of needle biopsies that are being done around the world. And this is, from what I could see, not even counting the number that are being done in research labs. So there's a very large number of needle biopsies that are being done. They're being done for cancer. They're being done for non-cancer. There was a paper presented at the same meeting, the same protein meeting in Spain, where an investigator talked about doing needle biopsy samples on colitis and other GI diseases. So there's a lot of biopsies, and the ability to take that small piece of tissue and run it using the gold standard mass spectrometry is difficult at best until Professor Abersol came around, and combining the AVCyx swath And with RPCT, he was able to get some really, really exciting results. So the market's big. We believe it's going to enable us to have access to selling more instruments and, of course, more consumables. So, and this really hasn't started. That paper just came out. That revelation was just, 45 days ago or 60 days ago.
Okay, well, listen, you've been very generous with your time. Thanks for taking my questions. Congratulations on your progress. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Michael Levin, private investor. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question about a release where the company expects to build and ship 9 instrument systems, I guess, for the fourth quarter. Are you still on track for that? And could you give some color to the potential revenue?
We're not on track for 9. We're on track for 5. Some of it is the holidays, and some of it is just making sure that these are as good as they can be before we ship them out. So we had talked about the potential of trying to have 9 available a few months ago, and we have 2 that are out there. We're building 3 more, so we have a list, as I said earlier, of 18 to 24 labs that are all interested in looking at this. So is it Mike or Michael? Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
Okay, Mike. So we're on track. Right now, we're looking to probably place 5 before the holidays, but the other 4 will quickly come after. And I think if it weren't for the second half of December, mainly a lot of labs slowing down, we might have been able to get all 9 out. But it's not a horse race. This is a marathon. And so yes, our goal is to try to get as many up to 5 out and get the data started to be generated. What's the potential? What I can say is I've put slides. We file 8-Ks with some of the talks because they have slides we think are important. And in 1 or 2 or 3 of them, there are slides that talk about the potential. There are thousands of labs that have mass spectrometers in the country. We believe there's about 6,000 to 8,000 in the U.S., and generally speaking, rule of thumb is double it for international. So you've got 8,000 to 16,000 laboratories that have mass spectrometers, and many of them are being used for protein work, and this is something which we've never really, I think we've added up maybe 15 or 20 of our 150 customers are using our system, Dr. Goldman being one who was in today's press release, using our system in front of a mass spectrometer. If there are thousands of labs that have mass spectrometers and we're only in front of 20, what's the reason we're not there? And we believe that one of the biggest reasons we're not there yet is that our samples up to now have been 1 at a time. And most of these mass spec laboratories, are using automated robots where they do multiple samples at one time. And so this is what's changing now, Mike, is that now we have the system. We will have data available within the next few weeks, we believe. We will push hard as part of marketing plan is to get all of our evaluation sites to be presenting and publishing their data as early as January of this coming year, just 2 months away. And the market is very, very big in our opinion. We believe it's quite big. We put numbers in the millions and in the millions of dollars for a potential market share for us.
Finally, can you put a monetary value on your company's intangible assets and intellectual property?
I cannot. There are some people there are some people who think the patents are worth multiples of what the company's market capitalization is, and our book value. I think we've pretty much written them all down. So then the patents itself are being carried at no value on our balance sheet. They obviously have value. We have 24 issued patents. We have more patents that are marching along the pathway, Mike, so it wouldn't surprise me to have more coming out soon because they're getting close. But in a way, it's a good point because I'm not sure how many investors really understand that in terms of book value, we're carrying our patents at zero because we've written them down over the period of time that GAAP allows us to write them down.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Good to talk to you. I've seen your name, but I don't think we've spoken for a while.
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Grant Zent with Zacks Investment Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Rick. Congratulations on the great achievement. I was a little late for the first part, so just with a follow-up question for the HG48 shipment. In the news release, you mentioned that you have already shipped two HG48, right?
And
yes. If my understanding is right, you just said three more are being built right now, right?
Three more are being readied and should be ready in 1 to 2 weeks to be shipped if we want to ship them, yes.
Oh, okay. So what's your estimate for the for the potential revenue recognition for the fourth quarter? You have the guidance?
I can't give you that. All I can do is give you whatever I can publicly and let you come up with your numbers, Grant, as always. The list price is about $40,000 for the system.
Mm-hmm.
And we are hoping, I had this discussion I think in the August phone call, we're hoping that we'll be get to a deal with another group and that if that deal called for a 25, 35, 40, whatever percent discount, then one would have to take that off. But at this time, we would be selling these direct. It's a two-step process. This equipment has never existed before. No one's ever run it. And everybody, we're going to, for the most part, if there are 20 groups that are on our list that are going to be getting the system over the next 3 months, let's say, I would say that roughly three-quarters of them are existing customers who already understand PCT and want to do more high throughput, and maybe the last 25%, maybe the last five are new customers that have never been able to use PCT because they just haven't had the throughput. So it's a two-step process. The first step is we have got to get these out for a short 2 to 4 week evaluation, and things take longer than we all plan, so I think it's safe to say that our 2 to 4 week evaluation may run 6 weeks in some cases. But we're asking our collaborators here to generate data, not only for themselves to convince themselves that this system is going to do exactly what they want, run many more samples at a lower price per sample, much faster. But we also have asked them to give us the data, not the data that's confidential from their own work, but data that we can send to others or that they can present and publish. And so the sales will follow that, Grant. We believe there are some customers who will look at it for 2 to 4 weeks and then ask to purchase it. We believe there are other customers who will look at it and they will put it into a budget for next year. And then we believe there are new customers that have never had an instrument, PCT instrument, that will be purchasing. Those will be the hardest ones to sell because we're selling them on PCT as well as the instrument. So that's the three groups. But it comes with, you know, there's no lineup of 20 companies that say, ship it to me sight unseen. This is not the iPhone 6 or something. This is a brand new instrument that they need to feel and touch and see and get the data, but it is not a six-month process or a one-year process. This is a process that starting in December, I would not be surprised to have perhaps one sale in December, and I'm fully expecting that we will start selling these instruments in the first quarter next year.
That's great. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back to management for any closing comments.
All right. Thank you, Jen. And as always, we appreciate you guys taking the time to get on the phone, read what we send out there, ask the questions. I'm always available. Dick's always available. If something pops up tomorrow, tonight, you know, feel free to call us and or email us. Be happy to clarify anything that needs clarification. But again, thank you for taking the time. We really are honestly very excited about where we are. We're a couple of weeks later than expected in getting these out, but they're out. They're being tested on the high throughput. The micropestle, the presentation's been made, and phone calls are coming in. We're just very excited about where we are, and I think I'd end it by saying, you know, it's now time to take what we've got, become more of a sales and marketing-driven company than an engineering R&D company, and that's what I think you're going to see. I think when we get back on the phone in March or April, we're going to be able to be talking about you know, how we've become more of a sales and marketing team. As you know, we have very limited sales and marketing capabilities, and it's our firm goal to enhance those capabilities starting very, very quickly. So thanks again for the time, and please give Dick or me a call if there's any questions after. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.